all that I can be.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of PalTalk.com and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are USA 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. Our direct lines, same area code, is 530-776-5185 and 876-9916. It is a real honor for me to be with each of you again this week. It is always a divine honor for me to always be with each and every one of you. And boy, do we have a show for all of you this evening. So I want to encourage and invite each and every one of you not only to visit my show page on bbsradio.com. I have a wealth of information about our guest this evening. And also, for your convenience in Pal Talk, we also have that information listed there for you. And we will also be posting periodically throughout the broadcast our guest websites and the title of the book for this evening for all of you for your convenience. With all of that said, please allow me this evening to share about our guest for this evening. His name is Mark Allen. He is the president and founder of New World Library and has been using these tools in his own life for over 30 years with impressive results. Throughout his 20s, Allen was a poverty case who was unable to hold a steady job. When he turned 30, he sat down and wrote an ideal scene of what he wanted his life to look like 5 years in the future and began actively putting the natural laws of manifestation to work in his life. Now, 30 years later, I have the honor and the pleasure to introduce you to a multimillionaire who has written several books that help others understand and implement the secrets of manifestation, which he himself has indeed mastered. The title of his book this evening is called The Greatest Secret of All, Moving Beyond Abundance to a Life of True Fulfillment. Takes his message of that secret to one step further. So without further delay, let's all give our guest, Mark Allen, a warm welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Welcome, Mark.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that warm, wonderful introduction.
Oh, it is a real honor to have you here with all of us tonight. And as we both know, that is many concerns for people worldwide as we face everyday situations in life. So I'm really ready to learn a whole lot from you this evening.
Yes. It is so true. Whenever I listen in the news, I say to my son or who's ever around, they should call it the bad news. The news on the media, they should say, this is today's bad news. As William Hearst proved with his great line, if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, given 6 billion people in the world, there's bound to always be bad news, and that's featured on our newscast. So I hope to provide some good news, as I'm sure you do too.
Well, I tell you, it was really interesting. I have a little secret I'd actually like to share with you, Mark. I have actually spoken about your book to quite a few of the listeners that are actually tuned in on tonight's show. And, you know, one of the things that the listeners have really learned listening to the show is that you can never judge the book by its cover. And I have to say, it's a superb job on this well-written book titled The Greatest Secret of All, Moving Beyond Abundance to a Life of True Fulfillment. thank you, Mark, for allowing, for sharing your book with me, because I have really picked up on quite a few of incredible and profound knowledge that you personally have implemented in your own life. So I'd like to ask you this question right offhand. I'd like for you to share real quickly with our listeners tonight a little bit about your story. When you were dealing with no money, not having a job, and those types of things.
Right. Well, yeah, I was a total poverty case in my 20s. I found myself writing in the book that I had the opposite of the Midas touch. Everything I touched fell apart. I was born with a very important piece of the puzzle, and it leads me to believe everyone is born with some great thing to share to humanity. In fact, I think we're all creative geniuses in some unique way, but it's so natural to us that sometimes we don't even see it. But one thing I knew from birth, I knew it was important to do what I loved. I knew I could never compromise and get a job I didn't like. And my father tried to pressure me to go into business. He said, in fact, an exact quote, he said, you know, you only work 40 hours for a corporation, you still have 40 other hours to be creative. And I remember thinking, no, Dad, if I worked 40 hours a week in a job I didn't like, I'd need another 40 hours to recover from that. And so I knew it was important to do what I loved. So I wanted to be an actor and a musician all through my teens, and I became an actor and a musician. And I was a theater major, and then I dropped out of college because I got a role in a good company. We toured the country, but then the company fell apart. It lasted about 6 months with it, I think. Then I got into another company. That fell apart within 6 months. Then I followed my girlfriend to a Zen center, and I got kicked out for breaking the rules after 5.5 months. Then I wandered around what we call the spiritual smorgasbord of Berkeley, California, in the late 60s, early 70s, and just several years passed. I ended up being in a rock band that fell apart, and then for a long time I just did temp jobs. I got fired as a busboy and dishwasher for being too slow, and I got fired as a typesetter for not showing up on time. And then I turned 30, and that is the day that changed my life. I woke up in this state of shock. I realized I wasn't a kid anymore. I didn't have a job. I had no money. I was scrounging, a word we used all the time. I was scrounging every month to get my $65 together for this little one-room apartment in not a nice part of Oakland, California. And somehow it was cool, sort of, to be a poverty case artist through my 20s. But the day I turned 30, it was my most difficult birthday. And in hindsight, my best, because I realized I was not a kid anymore, and it was time to do something with my life. And that's the day, as you said in the beginning, I literally took a sheet of paper. I'd also had a back to the land experiment in my early 20s that fell apart. But one night during that back to the land experiment, I was about 22, we were sitting around a fire, and this couple said, let's play this game we played at church camp. Let's imagine 5 years have passed and everything has gone as well as you could imagine. What would your life look like? And I don't remember a word of what I said at 22, and we just went around the fire and said whatever we said. But the day I turned 30, I remembered that little exercise. And this time I wrote it down, and that's what changed my life. Writing it down. I wrote ideal scene at the top of a sheet of paper. I imagined 5 years had passed and everything had gone as well as I could imagine. That little game tricked me into a whole new side of myself. It tricked me into getting into the visionary thinker that we all have. It tricked me into big picture thinking and really looking at my ideal. And much to my amazement, what spilled out was, I have a successful publishing company. I'd never been interested in business at all. I'd always identified with being an artist, an actor, and a musician. So much to my amazement, I have a successful company publishing my own books. I'd never written a book. And music I'd never recorded. And I have a big white house on a hill in Marin County, which was the most beautiful place I'd seen across the bay from Oakland.
Wow.
And then when I thought about it, I added what I think is my unique contribution to humanity so far. When I dared to dream my ideal, I also thought, you know, I don't want to work too hard either. I have a life of ease. I have success with ease. I only work when I feel like it.
Let me interject here for just a moment, Mark.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really interesting because, you know, you share that, you know, where your attitude is that you wanted to not spend so much time working. Basically, you labeled yourself as being a very lazy individual. And for the listeners that are tuned into this show tonight, they're going, sure, now, Mark, I've been doing those things. It's not working. So with that said, what was that one element that we may have been missing to help propel us forward and changing our mindsets on the way we choose to look at our world, our finances?
Right. I think the single main element, there's two elements. One, I kept that goal in mind. I kept my ideal in mind. I wanted to build a successful company and not work too hard, only work when I felt like it. I built this company. I've never worked more than 15 to 25 hours a week. Maybe I've worked 30 hours on a really busy week, but usually I average 20 to 25 hours work building this company that now has multi-million dollar profits. So the one thing is keeping the goal in mind. The other thing is dealing with all the doubts and fears that come. Because as soon as I dared write my ideal scene, I remember just being overwhelmed with doubts and fears, saying, it's way too much, Mark. You want success, but you don't want to work too hard. Impossible. You know you've got to work hard. Our doubts and fears are very rational, and they can be very realistic. It brings in that realistic voice that can serve us in some ways, but it can also serve to undermine all our doubts and fears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the whole process is dealing with our doubts and fears that inevitably arise to undermine our dreams. And I discovered a very, very simple process for that at a seminar in my late 20s that I share in the book, The Greatest Secret of All.
Wow. Well, you know, it's really interesting because I was, before I go any further with this, for all those that have just tuned in to the show, we are talking with our guest this evening is Mark Allen. He has written a terrific, profound book that I was really excited about sharing with all of you this evening. And that title is The Greatest Secret of All, Moving Beyond Abundance to a Life of True Fulfillment. Now, let me share as well the websites, and you're invited to explore my show page. I do have a wealth of information there, along with information being posted for the convenience of all the Pal Talk listeners as well. Those websites are Mark, and that's spelled M as in Mary, ARCALLEN, so that is markallen.com. The other site is called newworldlibrary.com. So, you know, it's really interesting, Mark, because that's another important key right there is when you were sharing with us tonight, is that as you started writing down what you would like to see your life look like, you were also going through that process of letting go of fear, you're building your self-esteem. So how did you go about that, or did it just unfold as you held on to that vision?
It definitely helped holding on to the vision, but also there was really two things that I think mostly helped me overcome those doubts and fears. One, I remember on the day I turned 30, I can still remember my thoughts vividly. saying, it's way too much, Mark. You want to start a company and write books and do music and get into real estate. My rational mind said, just pick one thing and focus on that. And I kind of knew it was setting me up. Whatever I picked, they'd say, oh, you're not capable of that. You're too lazy. You've been spoiled by your life of musician's hours and whatever it is. My mind was set up to undermine my dreams. But I got around it by doing two things. One, I just happened to remember a story I heard about Buckminster Fuller, this real successful inventor that was on the speaking circuit in the 60s and 70s. And he used to say that in his 20s, he decided to either commit suicide or look at his life as this unique experiment. And fortunately, he chose the latter. So I just grabbed onto that word experiment, and I literally said to my doubts and fears, let me try this as an experiment. Let me go for my dreams in my own lazy way, working when I feel like it, really going for my dream, but without compromising. And let me do it as an experiment. And they said, impossible, it'll fail. And I said, well, this is a good experiment, though. And I literally said to my doubts and fears, give me a year or two to try this experiment. They said, well, you'll fail. And I said, well, I won't be any worse off than I am right now, because I was totally broke. I had no job. I mean, how much worse could it get? I had no family money, unlike some people that write books like I do. I had no family to fall back on in terms of financial support. So I got around them by just saying, okay, I'm going to go for it as an experiment. Give me a year or two. And then the other thing I did was something I learned that I have in the book in a workshop I took in my 20s. I was 28. I took this workshop led by a man named Ken Keyes, who wrote a book called Handbook to Higher Consciousness in the 70s. His contribution to humanity was he understood that our lives are completely shaped by our deep core beliefs. And he knew and he taught that these beliefs are not necessarily true in themselves. There are many people with a very different set of beliefs, but they become true in our lives if we believe them. And he also understood how to change them with a very simple process called the core belief process. And it's just eight questions, asking yourself eight questions, which is in my book. The questions are just, and they're best done if you're upset about something or frustrated about something. That's when it's good to do this core belief process. And I did that core belief process on myself over and over whenever I'd get frustrated. I mean, I can give you a quick example of it around money if you want.
Absolutely. Let me share this with you. You know, it's really interesting because one of the profound statements my father had shared with me, he says, go for your dreams. And if you're waiting for money, he says, you'll be waiting the rest of your life.
Right.
And that's when I turned around and I actually built a large corporation right here in Arizona. I don't have it now, but it was amazing because I spent $100, $50 on flyers, $50 on business cards, and had my first three clients in 3 days.
Hmm.
And in the first year, I actually made a profit and then built it all the way up. And it was just amazing. And it was because I felt deep within myself that I personally deserve to have good things in life. And as you and I both know, a lot of people have an attitude is to be spiritual or to live life, we have to be poor.
And
that's not true.
Nope. And I sure had that attitude all through my 20s. And into my 30s, it still dogged me, and I still struggled. I struggled for 5 years after I started my company because I hadn't really dealt with those doubts and fears effectively. I'm convinced the whole process is, and there's nothing to believe in this. I never had to make a leap of faith to believe in anything. I just tried this stuff and saw that it worked. And I really think, in some mystical way, the whole universe, or our subconscious mind, or whatever you want to call it, says yes to every one of our thoughts. So when we say, I'm going to do what I love, and I'm going to make it work somehow, the universe says yes, and even starts showing us how to make it work financially. But then if our next thought is, oh, it's so hard to succeed, so few people succeed, the universe says, yes, it's hard for you with that thought, yes. Here, I'll show you how hard it is. So I'm convinced we're programming ourselves with every thought and action. And it's a matter of doing some more effective thinking and focusing on that dream and really going for it. And it's where affirmations have really worked for me. Affirming in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, I am now creating the life of my dreams. That, to me, helped overcome years of negative, limited beliefs and thinking.
Absolutely. So what would you say to those individuals that are listening tonight to this show that have, you know, been taught to be spiritual is to be poor? It's not okay to share your spiritual gifts and your knowledge and your wisdom with others and not be paid for it. What would you say to them today?
I grappled with that for years. And I remember I had a son. And that really helped change a lot of my thinking. I thought, what do I really want for my son? And I immediately thought, well, I want him to be happy. I want him to be fulfilled. I want him to have no limits on what he does and his enjoyment of life and his ability to create whatever he wants. As soon as I thought that, then I had this real clear thought, that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. God doesn't want me to be a poverty case. That serves no one. When I was a poverty case and somebody asked me for spare change, it was totally hopeless. I had no spare change. I wasn't donating to anything. I wasn't supporting any good causes. But now that I'm a millionaire, people ask me for spare change. I've peeled off a $50 bill for those guys, and it makes their day. And I support a ton of causes.
I apologize.
No,
that's where I really appreciate having you on this show, Mark. And the reason why I am so passionate with this show tonight is, you know, because we all have been led to believe to be spiritual we have to be poor. I know that all of us today are facing many financial crises. And number three is breaking down those walls of illusion with the attitude that multimillionaires are not interactive in helping and being of service to people worldwide, because I have learned that firsthand, that so many, as yourself, have given in so many ways.
Yeah, I know. If you have nothing to give, you can't help other people. I believe, and I think we need to find it in our own words, but for me, as I wrote a book called The Greatest Secret of All, I do think the greatest secret of all is to love and serve yourself and others. And that means take care of yourself first, because we need to take care of ourselves. We're the most important thing in our lives, and unless we really take care of ourselves and find fulfillment for ourselves, what do we have to give others? Once we do, then we really can love and serve others.
That's right.
And that's what we're here to do. That's what I feel.
So let me ask you this then. Is being a millionaire really important, and is that a good goal for all of us to have?
No, not at all. Especially if you think money can make you happy. No, you can be very successful and fulfilled having just even a modest level of income, depending on how you control your expenses and how you live your life. Really, to me, the important thing is do what you love to do and find a way to make that work. maybe what you love to do is backpacking around Nepal. You don't have to be a millionaire for that. Or moving off to some remote place. There's a lot of places where you can live very well and not be a millionaire. On the other hand, my book before this book is called The Millionaire Course, and I say, in today's society, if you want just the typical middle-class life where you own a home and your kids go to a good school and go to college, you've almost got to have $1 million now or substantial money. And $1 million is a good, expansive, concrete goal. I heard one wealthy person, all he told his son was, save $100. Once you've done that, save $1,000. Once you've done that, save $10,000. And realize that the difficulty, once you have $1,000, it's just as easy to make it $10,000 as it was when you had $100 to make $1,000. You know what I mean? It's the same amount of difficulty to add a zero. Once you have $10,000, save $100,000. For a lot of people, just maybe being having 100,000 in savings might be enough. It depends on your lifestyle. But having $1 million in savings is a fun goal, and it's a nice goal. And I don't discourage people from that goal.
Yes,
but it's not necessary. It's definitely not necessary.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and let's back up here for a moment, if we may. One of the questions that I wanted to ask you is getting back to, you know, when I asked you about being lazy. So are you saying to all of us that we can be successful and that we can be lazy and still successful all at the same time?
Absolutely. This is my unique contribution to humanity so far. I am lazy. People don't believe it when they hear my schedule. And, I mean, I was an actor and a musician in my 20s, and I loved those hours. We never started anything till usually 2 in the afternoon. So, to this day, I sleep late. I don't do mornings. I don't do Mondays. Years ago, I started taking off Mondays because I realized how much I loved 3-day weekends. And how good I felt on Tuesdays. So I just work afternoons, Tuesday through Friday. That's all the time I work. So when I work, I'm here, I'm focused, I'm really getting stuff done. And I tell these people that believe you have to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week to succeed. I say, you're not working productively half the time anyway. It's far better when you feel, you know, your energy dissipate, to go take a break, take a nap, go walk on a beach or something, and then come back with renewed energy when you feel like it. Being lazy doesn't mean, we have connotations that go along with being lazy. So sometimes people, I've even had people say, well, don't say you're lazy, because to most people that means you're unfocused, you don't follow through, No, I say you can be lazy and still be persistent and still be focused on a goal. I am clearly focused on a goal. This year I will increase my profits by 50%. That's my goal. But I affirm it in an easy and relaxed manner in a healthy and positive way. I keep that goal in mind, and yet I take care of myself. My wife laughed at me yesterday because I took 3 naps. For a Monday. We got up early to do something for our kid at school. He had an event at 8:30. So I got up for that, and then as soon as I got home at 10, I took a nap till about 11:30. I got up, I had some coffee, I did a few things, then I took a nap about 1:30. And then I got up, I did some more things. Then I still felt... So I laid down before dinner. I laid down like 4:30 again, and she was just shaking her head in amazement at me. You know, I mean,
we're packing up and coming over to your place.
Yeah.
To
me, that was a great
day,
a 3-nap day.
That is awesome, and that's the way life should be as well. You know, because even when I was younger, you know, I said, "What's wrong with this picture?" You know, I just,
yes.
And my mother, oh my goodness. she said to me, she says, you need to start acting normal. And I said to her, well, what is normal, Mother? And she said to me, holding a job, working from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and then being responsible and paying all your bills, which we know that it is we're responsible in paying our bills and putting food on the table. And so she added that, and then saying on the weekends, you take care of your family. And I said, oh, my gosh, if that's normal, I want no part of it.
I felt the same way. I remember looking at my dad working his 40-hour-a-week job saying, I don't want to put up with that. I don't want to get up every morning 5 days a week. A while ago on the radio, I heard somebody say, it's hump day. And at first I thought, what are they talking about? Hump day. It was a Wednesday. I thought, is this some weird sexual thing I haven't heard about? But then I realized, oh, no, they meant Wednesday, you're over the hump. You're getting over the hump of the week. And I thought, oh, that's so sad. To me, every day of the week is my favorite day. I love Mondays because I take them off for myself. I love Sundays. That's my day for my family, totally. Then by Tuesday afternoon, I'm ready to get to work. I love going into work. And I only work as long as I feel like it. And that to me is doable. And I know, I felt the same way when I was a kid. They told me you should, my dad was the one who was adamant about you should work 40 hours. I thought, that to me sounds, I don't know, it just restrains my spirit. I was going to say it sounds like a living hell, but that's a little bit of an exaggeration. I don't want to put that out.
Well,
but
I will have to say I do believe that. I feel that very strongly because I used to be, you know, before I started my own business, I worked for corporations and did the 40-hour thing just like everyone else did. And, you know, I was a high achiever. You know, degrees were very important to me. Career goals were also extremely important. Now, my values have indeed changed. And I'm more and more examining those things even for myself, even though I had built a large corporation at one time. And part of the reason why I let that go, which is my next question for you, is that when I had those things, I didn't have the right support system around me where I had a lot of people, you know, jealousy and envy or telling me, you know, you can't do that or are you out of your mind? I think you've gotten to adjust to that. So, you know, share with us tonight how you were able to build a support system around you because I'm sure you had one.
Yeah. Looking back, I started the business with no knowledge of business. I'd never studied it. I'd never been interested in it. So the first 5 years, really, from 30 to 35 for me, were just filled with struggle and chaos. And it all reflected my own mind. It reflected my doubts and fears. And as I was writing Greatest Secret of All, I had this image looking back. I realized my unconscious thing that I was communicating to the world was, I don't understand what I'm doing. I need help. Here, help me, please. Where are the right people to help me get this together? That was what I was putting out. And so the people I brought in were not that competent. I heard a single phrase that changed my life when I was 35, driving down the freeway. I heard it on the radio. Later on, someone said it was a quote from Napoleon Hill, but I didn't hear who had said it. But all I heard were the words, within every adversity is an equal or greater opportunity. Within every adversity is an equal or greater benefit, actually was the word, adversity and benefit. I wrote that down in big letters by my phone. And then underneath I put that, within every problem is an opportunity. Then I started, as I was overwhelmed with these problems, I started asking myself, what are the opportunities here? What are the benefits here? And I started seeing opportunities and benefits. And looking back, my mental situation shifted to the point where I started putting out to the world, my business is a great opportunity here for the right person. I will share profits with every person here that works for me. If you help me make a substantial profit, and I will be very generous with that. And my whole energy shifted from, instead of being overwhelmed with the problems and the struggles and the dramas of dealing with people, instead I shifted to, there's a great opportunity here for the right team. And as soon as I started putting out that, the right team joined me. And they've been with me ever since.
I just wanted to make a quick announcement. Our guest tonight is Mark Allen, and he has written a wonderful book called, titled, The Greatest Secret of All, Moving Beyond Abundance to a Life of True Fulfillment. The website is Mark Allen, and that is spelled MarkAllen.com. And his other website is newworldlibrary.com. And I personally have the book in front of me, and I'm very grateful that I've had the opportunity to sit down and really read this book. It not only reminded me of who I am and that we are all the power and the authority of our own world. And so I encourage all our listeners tonight to really sit down and let's put down on the paper our personal visions of what our lives look like. And let's all join together, support each other, and making a difference not only in our lives, but being of great service to everyone worldwide. With that, Mark, let me ask you this as well. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are sitting saying, okay, sure, Mark, we've got a world that's in crisis financially. We've got politicians fighting among each other. Our bank institutions are going bankrupt. Look at our homes. Loan companies are going belly up and all those. I know you have the picture here. So.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? How do we get started in changing our own lives and giving others permission to do the same?
That's a great question. That gets right down to the nitty-gritty. I see. I mean, it's good to have a historical perspective. The economy is cyclical. It goes up, it goes down. And given that phrase I just mentioned is invaluable to me. Within every adversity is an equal or greater benefit. Within every problem is an opportunity. Even in the worst recession or depressions, there are opportunities and even benefits if we start asking what they are. I love the story of B.B. Rebozo, who in the Great Depression made millions of dollars. Why? Because he realized people couldn't afford tires for their cars. Well, for most people, this was a problem. They didn't have money for their cars. He saw the opportunity and invented cheap recap tires, or I don't know if he invented them, but he started making them and selling tons of them. He made millions of dollars in the Great Depression,
yes,
selling recap tires, finding a new need and filling it. So whatever our situation is, whatever the economy is doing out there, there are always opportunities and benefits if we ask for them. If we ask ourselves, what possibly could be the opportunity and benefit in our current situation, we'll start getting answers. We'll start seeing opportunities where we never saw them before.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I was in a store a couple of weeks ago, and this man walked up to me, and I was just, you know, wow, look, the soda is on sale for 25 cents. And I thought, wow, that's a great bargain, but I don't drink soda. So this man walks up to me, and he says, yeah, but wouldn't that be just, you could make tons of money by buying cases and cases of this soda, and you'd even go to the flea market and sell them for a dollar. You get that through mint and 75 cents profit. And I was going, oh, my God, what a great idea.
Yeah, he was looking at opportunities there.
Yes,
that's
right.
Very good.
Well, absolutely. So let me ask you this as well, Mark. So what are some of the key elements, because you were going to share with us earlier before I interjected, on how do we get started beyond writing down our goals and keep and holding our vision? Because one of the things that we've learned from you is that you were broke. You had no money. So how were you able to achieve making these goals happen without any money?
Yep. I did a few little concrete things that's in every one of my most recent books. I literally wrote down my ideal scene, imagining 5 years had passed. Then I realized within that was a whole list of goals, and I listed every one of my goals. Start a publishing company. Start writing a book. Start recording an album. Then, I remember I had 12 at first. Then I rewrote every goal as an affirmation. I'd read about the power of affirmations. So I rewrote them. And to this day, I carry around my goals as affirmations. And I affirm in an easy and relaxed manner, in a healthy and positive way, my company is now improving its profits by 50% this year. I have these affirmations. Then, for every major goal, I, over the months after I started affirming them, came up with a simple one-page plan on paper. Now, usually things happen differently from my plan, but I sit down with my goal, you know, succeeding doing what I love in my own lazy way. That's my goal. How do I do that? I make a one-page plan with kind of small writing. You might have to go to 2 pages if you write big. Literally, that's the whole simple system I developed, and it completely works for me. Then you just take whatever steps you can, you keep moving toward that plan any way you can. So to start a company, for instance, too, I had no job, I had no money. The only thing I could think of planning at first was get a job, get any kind of job, because I knew nothing about raising money or loans even, or I knew nothing about money at all. I didn't know how it worked. I didn't even know how banks worked. A friend of mine laughs at me. He remembers us walking along the beach and me saying, I don't know a thing about money. How do banks work? What do banks do? I couldn't understand. So my first plan was get a perfectly horrible job, any kind of 40-hour week job, and try to save 20% to invest in my startup. And that's what I did at first. Then I got it turned out to be a great gift that I got fired, because I ended up, it was as a typesetter, and I ended up typesetting on my own and making much more money. And then I hired my cousin to do the typesetting, and I built a little typesetting business, and that financed my publishing.
How long did it actually take you from being flat broke to becoming a millionaire?
At 30, I started my business. By 35, I hit my financial low, where I was like $65,000 in credit card debt, and our whole company was, and this was the early 80s, so $65,000 in today's dollars was way more than twice that. And my whole company was on the verge of bankruptcy because our distributor collapsed. We hadn't gotten paid for 6 months. So by 35, I was really in deep, deep doo-doo, as our George Bush the first used to say, deep doo-doo. That's when I really did an effective core belief process. That's when I heard the phrase, within every adversity is an equal or greater benefit. That's when everything turned around, and within a year, I was completely debt-free, and within about 2 years, I think, I was a millionaire. It happened very quickly once I got my head straight, once I dealt with the things that internally were keeping me
yes.
very, you know, limited.
Yes. Well, let me ask you this as well, Mark, because I know that you also conduct seminars and stuff, and I'd love for you to share that with all the listeners tonight. And for all you listeners, I also have that information posted up on my website on with bbsradio.com, and I really invite all of you to take a good look at that and to explore Mark's website. He's got a wealth of information that I know that each of you will be interested in, that will help propel you into your near goals for your own future. And so if you would, Mark, share that with all of us.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm now doing a three-month seminar that's just kicking off at the end of this month. Some people, we had talked about a year seminar, so some people are already committing to taking 4 3-month seminars back-to-back. But it's going to be a small group really working with people to focus on their goal and their dream and take the steps toward that and get as much support as we can give them. And it's going to be exciting. I've been doing daylongs for years that I still love and will continue to do occasional daylong seminars. This three-month program is a new thing.
Very nice. Well, I'm glad personally to know that you have it. And you're offering it to all of us. So that's a great opportunity, especially the way things are going in our own world. And, you know, I speak to people from all over the world on a daily basis, and that's been a common denominator of people worldwide, and it's a major concern for all of them. So what I've heard from you tonight is to stay very focused on your own personal dreams and let everything else go. Because when we start worrying and concerning ourselves with what's going on around us, that keeps us sucked up into drama, the worry, the fears, all those lower frequencies that inhibit us from moving forward.
Yes, we are our own worst enemies. The only thing that can really undermine our most expansive dreams are our own doubts and fears. And we can deal with these doubts and fears. Oh, I also do a monthly free teleseminar. In fact, the next one is a week from tonight, the 22nd. That's on my website, too. And that's what I'll be talking about. I'll be talking about our doubts and fears and how they undermine us and how we can deal with them.
So how do we go about, for all the listeners that are interested, that would like to participate with this free seminar, what do we need to do?
Yeah, just go to markallen.com, markallen.com, and sign up on my mailing list, and you'll get a mailing telling you exactly the time to call in a number, and it's free. I talk for about 30 minutes usually, and then take questions for another 30, 35 minutes.
Oh, very nice. Well, I'm going to come and participate.
Oh, do. Yes.
I've really enjoyed listening to your wisdom and sharing with all of us. I know my listeners have been very excited about having you on the show, and it's always great to hear, especially when we can really connect with the person, because I find you so authentic, where you went through that path of poverty and you know, trying to figure out life. And I'm sure that a lot of us are in that position. Even as old as I am, I have my moments of that as well.
Sure.
And so it's a nice reminder.
Yeah. We need to keep reminding ourselves over and over and over and over and do whatever we need to do to just remind ourselves. We know it already. We know the secret of success, and we know even the greatest secret of all. But I remember hearing the analogy of a plane. When it's flying, it's off course over 95% of the time, but the pilot just keeps correcting over and over. And I remember when I heard that, I thought, that's the story of my life. As soon as I dared dream my ideal scene, I set my course. But I kept getting off course over and over. With every doubt and fear and anxiety, I'd go off course. And I'd have to reset then. Oh, yes, get back on course. Deal with that doubt and fear and keep moving ahead anyway.
So before I have to say good night to you, it's been a real honor to have you with us. And I do hope that you will come back again and share your wisdom with all of us. I really would like to. For you to do that, Mark.
Thank you. I'd love to anytime.
Oh, wonderful. Excellent.
Sure.
I'd like for you, if you would, to share your last thoughts with all of us and before we say goodnight to you, because I know that there's so much more that we need to cover, but I know that there's some very important elements that you'd like to share.
I just always encourage everyone to dream and to go for their highest dream. You'll never, ever regret it. I'm convinced anyone can succeed. Anyone. And when I say that, I always get people saying, well, if that's so true and if it's so simple like you say it is, why don't more people succeed? And I say, well, how many people really do write down their ideal, their dream? And how many people write down a one-page plan to go for their dream and keep taking the steps in front of them? Very few. But that is the simple little system that I invented that totally worked for me. And it was literally that simple. Make a plan on one page to go for your highest dream and do whatever you can do, even if you're working a 40-hour week or 60-hour week and you've got a mortgage and a family and you can find some time, even if it's just an hour or two a week, to focus on your dream. And over the weeks, that time will add up, and those little steps you take will start building into something.
Absolutely.
Great success is just a matter of little steps, just a series of little steps. That's all.
One single time.
Right.
We sure do. Thank you, Mark. And it's been a real honor. I know that the listeners have been very excited. It's been very informative and real. Also very real and authentic. And that's a very important key element as well. And it's just been a delight to have you on the show tonight.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your show and everything you're doing.
Thank you. Well, we'll say goodnight to you and many blessings to you, and we look forward to seeing your new ventures that you will be embarking on. So we'll say goodnight with you at this time. Goodnight to you, Mark.
Thank you very
much. Thank you. Wow, everyone. I have to say, what an incredible book. I'm very fortunate personally to have this book in my possession, and I have learned and been reminded of many things that I knew, and I've learned many new things as well. And I really appreciate Mark coming onto the show and sharing with all of us tonight, because I know that has been a major concern for all of our sisters and brothers worldwide. And I will say good night to all of you this evening. Many blessings to all of you. And remember, you are the power and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. Go for it. Spread your wings and fly. Good night.
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie. But that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born.